just pray for him. Pray that God would continue to work with them. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 1. If you'll notice that we're not in our study, we will not pick back up in our study till after the missions conference. After the missions conference, I'm telling you, we have some tremendous, tremendous preachers lined up for our missions conference, and not only Brother Boggs and Brother Ziner, who's already been here, and their heart for missions, but also other pastors. So in Joshua chapter 21, if you want a title this morning, it would be Going God's Way, Going God's Way. A lot of people have their own way. Every time I think about this, Going God's Way, I remember the track that I had that was a chick track. You might have seen it, and it has a hand, and it says, one way. One way to God, amen? Right? You know, back in Jesus' day and after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the Christians' religion, if you will, were called the Way. That's how they communicated. They would, you know, you might meet somebody on the road to Palestine or something and say, hey, are you familiar with the Way? That's how they identified themselves as Christians. And they took Jesus' teaching in that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way. So it's a good title, Going God's Way. And, you know, as with our missions conference fastly approaching, I just wanted to share a few reminders. This is a great chapter out of the Bible. The week before last, I preached a topical message, and I like preaching on topical messages. And last week when I was in Plains, Montana, I shared a message and got through the introduction because of the time constraints. I don't know if I'll be able to finish this one today, but that's okay. But they invited me back sometime. I don't know when. They invited me back sometime to finish the message. But we love Brother Kim Earhart. Pray for him. He is going to be having surgery shortly on his septum area and his sinuses. He's in a lot of pain. And not only that, pray for Pastor Jim Zeke in Spokane, Washington. He's pastor of Liberty Baptist Church, been diagnosed with real terrible cancer. And last week he was hospitalized again. He's a young preacher, and he's been in this church, has a great family, and we just don't understand the ways of the Lord on this, but keep them two pastors in prayer. So if you will, why don't we just all stand this morning, and we'll turn to Joshua chapter 1, and we will begin our reading in verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over the Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea going towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all thy days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of thy law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Again, Lord, we thank you for your word. Pray that you'll bless the teaching and the preaching of it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So in this title, Going God's Way, out of this text, I would like to just share a few things out of it with you this morning. But after the death of Moses, the Lord spake to Joshua. Now remember, this is when they were on the brink of going into the promised land, crossing the Jordan, after 40 years of being in the wilderness. And, you know, during them 40 years, the Lord used Moses to write the first five books of the Bible and used Moses in a great way. Moses' life, he lived 120 years. It was very interesting, his life. The first 40 years, he lived as a prince of the earth. He was literally in line to be Pharaoh, had everything. The Bible says in Hebrews that he forsook that pleasures of sin for a season to do God's will. So for 40 years, then he spent the next 40 years of his life in the backside of the desert. Now, if you're here today and you say, man, I really want God to use me. I really want to be in the will of God. I want God to, I feel that God has these things for me. Well, waiting time isn't wasted time. Can you imagine that God used, it took him 40 years. God had to, I don't know, beat it out of him or whatever, but to get him to be the great emancipator of the nation of Israel that was in bondage for over 400 years in Egypt. So he spent his first 40 years as a prince of the earth, the second 40 years as a nobody. And, you know, someone has said that, you know, that God took a somebody, made him a nobody, and God took a nobody and changed the world. Really, he took him from 40 years on the backside of the desert, and the next 40 years he was molding and shaping the nation that God used to call him out. And it's quite a journey. If you know the Bible, if you read the Bible, you'll see that them 40, they call them the wilderness wanderings. There's a lot of people that died there. A lot of people, literally the whole generation. There's only two people that literally crossed the promised land. There was really only three of them besides Moses, but Moses didn't cross. The text here is this is right after God took Moses to be home, to be with him, buried him. It was just Moses and God at the funeral service. Nobody knows where Moses is buried. But can you imagine how Joshua must have felt, you know? 40 years, and now it was only him and Caleb out of that whole generation of unbelief. Remember, 40 years prior, the 10 spies went into the promised land, and as the 10 came out, it was only Joshua and Caleb that said, God can do this thing. But it was the majority that prevailed. The majority of them said, it can't be done. There's giants there, and we're really just like grasshoppers in their sight. How many know today that God can do the impossible? I mentioned my friend, Jim Zeke, and when I reached out to him, his wife said that he's not taking any phone calls, but I did text him. He texted me back, and he texted me that text in Matthew 19:26, where with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. So you pray for him that God does a miracle work in his life. So that's the context of this. So I wanted to share a few things out of this. You can imagine how Joshua must have felt in verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Can you imagine how he felt? There were some big shoes to fill. But Joshua was Moses' minister. That means that he had been beside Moses through the whole time. He never left him. He never forsook him. He was always there. You know, someone has said good followers make good leaders. if someone's not willing to follow the leadership of the Lord and follow the man of God, they probably won't turn out to be a good minister themselves. But Joshua was. And you think, well, it's over. Moses is dead. But, you know, as God buried Moses, he didn't bury the work that he was doing. You remember Elijah, before Elijah was called away, his mantle was cast onto Elisha. You know, I've heard a lot of preachers say, hey, you know, I'm nobody because after I leave, somebody will take my place. And a lot of churches get very anxious when a pastor has been there for a long time and they leave. But you know what? They said there's just no way it can continue. Let me tell you, if it was built on man, it should fold up. It shouldn't go on. But if it's not, if it's built on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to continue. You say, how? Well, God will rise somebody else up. God will do it just like he did. You know, I remember hearing of a pastor that went to a church, and the church was very apprehensive about even putting a pulpit committee together to even call another pastor because their pastor had passed away. And I guess he had been there for over 40 years. And there was a preacher that preached to help the church. And he says, listen, your former pastor is gone. He is dead. It's time to move on. Amen. It's time to look for your Joshua to take him to the next step. Amen. And if we think about the work of God and going God's way, to be successful in God's work, it is just to simply trust him, trust and obey is the only way, right? And to fall into the work and listen and to do it God's way. You say, well, I got my own ideas. Well, hang on for a second. There's only really one way to do God's work, and that's God's way, by doing it his way. And there's no shortcuts, if you will, to the plan of God. I remember writing this, and I wrote this out of my Bible. I do my Bible reading, and I took these notes this morning as I was thinking about this message and doing God's way. If you want to turn to Romans chapter 12, you're going to see a few things here. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, Paul is beseeching the church at Rome there and the believers there. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. The word beseech means to beg. He was begging them that they get what he's about ready to say to them. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. If you want to be in the will of God and you want to do it God's way, this is a good place to start. Present your bodies. That'd be the first one. A living sacrifice, that would be another one. Holy. Ooh, don't tell me about being holy. Amen. I'm not holy. I'm not either. Amen. But we ought to, there was only one that was holy. There was only one perfect Christian. Amen. But we ought to strive to be. God did he not say in his Bible, be ye holy for I am holy. Right? That's another one, right? Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So as we present our body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, it says in the end of verse 1 that it ought to be your reasonable service. Listen, friends, there should not be a debate about what we do for the Lord with our bodies and with our eye gate and with our ear gate. Amen? Now, verse 2, he says, another one, and be not conformed to this world. How many know today that the world is trying to cram you into their mold? That's what he's saying. Be not conformed. This world is just bombarding us through media and through big tech and through the adverse political positions. They're always cramming it, and they figure if they keep telling you and telling you and telling you, you think of the LGBTQ. TSA, whatever it is, movement, right? What are they doing there? 6 times 5, brother, right? What are they doing? What are they doing? They just keep telling you, they keep telling you, and they keep telling you it's okay and it's acceptable. No, it's not. And Paul's telling the church of Rome here, says, be not conformed to this world. Don't be crammed into their mold, but watch. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And let me tell you, the only way you're going to do that is by being in the Word of God, amen? Letting God transform you through His Word, amen? That you may prove, now watch this, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You say, there's nobody that can know God's will. Yes, there is. There's a lot of believers today that are in the will of God. I believe I am. Amen. I'm no better than anybody in this room, all right? But I believe that right now, at this season of my Christian experience, the journey that I'm on, I'm supposed to be the pastor of Foundation Baptist Church in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Now, we're not going to take a vote on that today, but I'm just saying, might get some different opinions, but I believe I'm in God's will. And the notes I took out of my study Bible was this, is everyone has, God has a general, listen, a general will for everybody. And that is for everyone to be saved.
Right.
That is for everyone to be scripturally baptized. That is for everyone to join and be a part of a local church and to serve in that church. And then God has a special will. This is a specific will if you wanted to put ministry under that category. His will, and this is one of the points I have, is His will for you will never, ever be contrary to the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Also, God will open doors that you could never open. But He will also close doors that you, in all your power, you ain't going to be able to kick down. So it's better just to accept what God has for you. Amen? So He opens doors, He closes doors that He doesn't want you to go through. And then God's will give you peace. He'll give you peace that passes all understanding. Hey, I don't understand how that preacher in Ukraine, right, when the war started, he took his family, flee to Germany. After he got to Germany, he said, well, I'm going back. I'm going back to help. You know, and you notice that he was wearing an armored vest and so on. He probably had his helmet somewhere else, right? How does that happen? It happens because he believes that he is right in the center of God's will. And that is the safest place for anyone to be.
Amen.
Amen. Story real quick of a missionary that was in Mexico. All right. And if you remember, you know, Mexico is controlled by the cartel by and large. There's provinces and how the country split up. But it's just, it's totally corrupt and given over to the cartels, right? Well, at this time, there was a war going on. And I think he was in Mexico City, and it was, and I heard the testimony at a conference, and what happened was, there was a bridge going over a river, and him and his family were in like a church van, like our van, and they were traveling. They went up over the bridge, and as soon as they got past the bridge, there was a bunch of cars he could see in his rear view mirror block off the bridge on the side that they just crossed, and they blocked off the other side, and everybody on that bridge was murdered with automatic weapons. The pastor of this missionary says, brother, you need to come back. You need to come back. You need to get off that field. It's too dangerous. He goes, no, God's called me here. Amen. And we believe we're right in the center of God's will, and that's the safest place to be.
Amen.
He said, I could as well as bring my family back to Florida and go there and get in a car accident and we all die or whatever. He just believed he was in God's will. And God was watching over them. As God told Joshua, he said, listen, I need you to go over to the other side. Amen. And Moses is gone. My servant is dead. Now it's you. Amen. Now it's you. Just a few things. First of all, you need to understand the purpose of God. The Lord spake to him, said, arise, go over to the Jordan, verses 1 and 2. And Joshua did not need to say, Lord, what will you have me to do? No, he knew that if anything ever happened to Moses, that he was the man. And I believe that Moses had visited with him and told him, listen, I ain't going to go, I'm not going over. And that's recorded in scripture to where God took Moses. Moses asked him, Lord, you can forget about that whole water at the rock experience, amen. And it was because of his rebellion to this Lord, to the Lord, and the lack of faith, where God told him to speak to the rock and he hit the rock and he was mad at the people, so on and so forth. And God said, no. But I will take you up on the mountain. I'll let you see it. And he did. So Joshua understood that Moses was gone, that it was up to him to do God's will. His call was never to doubt. He was very conscious of doing God's will. And also, we see here, number two, if you will, we see faith in the promises of God. Look at verse 3. It says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given you. Let me tell you something. God has promised you good. Amen. Amen. Don't let the enemy say that your life is bad for being a Christian, or your life is bad because of the situation. If you're in a bad situation, God has allowed that into your life to form you and shape you. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the what? Called according to his purpose. The next verse says that we might be conformed into the image of Christ. If you're going through a trial, God's allowed that trial into your life to mold you and to shape you into the Christian that he wants you to be. Amen. You can't avoid them. You can't run from them. There's a lot of Christians today that have... And I don't understand, even with the Zeke family, what they're going through. I don't understand. It's like my son Jake said, not that guy. Yeah. I mean, apart from Jim Zeke being a great pastor, one of my mentors, apart from him just being a great Christian, amen, he's just a tremendous human being. He makes everybody around him feel good. When he's around people, he makes you feel like you're the most important person in that room. Yeah. Only God can do that, yeah. Right?
That's right.
But God's doing it, you know, and one of his best friends I talked with and through text, and I said, man, it's hard. This is hard for Brother Jimmy. He goes, listen, brother, God's got Jimmy. God's got Jimmy. And I thought, well, you're right, brother. He does. And he knows what he's doing. Amen. Why? Because the Bible says in Matthew 19:26, but Jesus beheld him and said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And God told Joshua, listen, every place you put your foot I have given unto you. That's tremendous. Also, God assures Joshua of his presence. Look in verse 5 of our text. He says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Remember, he's seen it all. Amen. He's seen the good, the bad, and the indifferent. Amen. He was there when the Red Sea was open. Amen. He was there when the people chode against Moses and wanted to stone him. Amen. He was there at the bottom of the mount when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments. He's seen it all. Amen. And he's seen how God prevailed and used Moses, his servant. And he says, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Remember what God told Moses in Exodus 33, verses 14 and 15. You don't have to turn there. You could write the verses down. But when Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments and he was on the mountain with God, God told him, he goes, I'll be with you. My presence shall go before you. And was that not true? I mean, you see the tabernacle in the wilderness. It was by a cloud by day and a fire by night. And the cloud would go over the congregation and the tabernacle. They would not move until the cloud moved. Maybe they would be there a month. Maybe they would be there a day. But when the cloud moved, they moved. It's interesting. If you know anything about the desert, it's nice to have a cloud over you when the daytime hits, right? And then also, not only that, but it was a fire by night. And in Exodus, God told Moses, don't be afraid. I'm going to be with you. Amen. And then what Moses say back to God? He goes, if your presence doesn't go before us, we ain't going. Amen. I'm not moving, God, unless you are moving. Amen. That's such a wonderful, wonderful promises. This, the threefold promise that you see in that verse can, you can claim today, because in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Also, you can take courage. You could take courage in the name of God. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do all according to the law, which my servant Moses, my servant, have commanded thee. And you don't need to turn from the right hand or to the left, because thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. Just trust in me. Just take courage. Amen. Just, I'm going to be there with you. I got it handled. Just trust. Just trust. You know, we sing that song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way. But do we really believe it? We need to believe it. Amen. And then also, I want you to see that there is faithfulness in the leading of God. You know, if we just let him guide us, you know, I love what Psalms 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then also, here's the key to the whole thing is found in verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest to do according to all that is written therein. Amen. That was the key. That was the key. You know, the key was the word of God. You know, he had the first five books of the Bible, right? That was enough. You know, but we have the whole 66 books. Amen. And he tells Joshua, all you got to do is meditate upon the word. Now, you guys know what that word meditate is. It's kind of a gross term in a way, but it means if you unpack the word into our English vernacular, it's a cow chewing its cud, you know, as a cow eats. And I know it's gross, right? But he just keeps chewing on it, you know. You know, Chuck likes to preach and use the word marinate, you know. Same thing. You know, you marinate on it. And that's what God was telling Joshua. Listen, you're going to be all right. You know, don't. Hey, I would have been anxious too. You know, I'd have been a little apprehensive too to try to fill Moses' shoes, right? But look at where God tells him over and over again, only be strong, be of good courage. Get into the word, eh? Amen. Delight yourself in the word, amen. I just heard this morning coming to church in Psalms 37, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall what? Give you the desires of your heart. Meditate. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, the psalmist in Psalms 1 depicts the believer as a tree, you know, planted by water. Amen. Meditate. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And we see that those who really find delight in the scripture of truth will be like these trees planted by the rivers of water, always refreshed. No matter how parched the ground is, if the water's there, you're going to flourish. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Amen. And then we see, lastly, I want us to see obedience to the will of God. Obedience. If you turn to in the same chapter of Joshua, if you turn to verse 16, you're going to see something here that's awesome. As Joshua leads the people, as God commands the people to do, to get over there and do it. We call this the conquest of Canaan, amen. And listen to the people's answer to Joshua. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou hast commanded us, we will do. And wheresoever thou sendest us, we will go. Obedience to the will of God. See, a lot of believers don't want to know God's will. You know, I'm telling you. First thing they think of, God might call me to preach. I ain't getting up and talking in front of nobody. We be careful saying that too much, amen. Just remember something. If God can use a donkey to preach, amen, and use a chicken in the Old Testament, amen, a rooster, God can use anybody. Obedience to the will of God. Let me share this with you. It was not enough that Joshua heard the call and knew the will of the call of God. Joshua heard the call and knew the will of God. If wholeheartedly obedience did not follow, the surrender of our will to God is as indispensable to spiritual life as breathing is to the natural life. Let me say that again. The surrender of our will to God is as indispensable to spiritual life as breathing is to the natural life. The people's answer in verse 16 should be our answer to God if we want to meet the conditions of success. Remember? That's what he says. He says that if you're going to find success, amen, you got to be strong and of good courage. And you have to be surrendered to the will of God. The end of verse 8 says, "For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Being in the will of God. Doing the will of God. Someone has said that to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To find the will of God is the greatest achievement. But to do the will of God is the greatest, greatest thing you and I can do to the glory of our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your people. We thank you for the challenge that we have had out of the Word of God. And we pray, Lord, that you would just help us and guide us and direct us. I pray this morning if there's anyone, Lord, that is here today that's never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. The first step in them finding and knowing the will of God, to going God's way, they must first submit to him wholeheartedly, to be saved, to trust him with their life. And Lord, and to know that if they were to die today, that they'd be in heaven with you. And Lord, for those that know that, but don't know your will, I pray that they would simply come and just submit to you, Lord, whatever you want them to do, without any reservations. Lord, I pray that you would do that. In Jesus' name, amen. With every